Welcome back to the show. So as always, we got Rob from Cinema Sharks. How you been? Shark. Yeah, I wish I was a shark. I want to be a shark. Can I be a shark, please?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good out here in the Valley of the Sun, you know, just chilling.
Valley of the Sun.
Tearing up bad movies, you know. Actually, been taking a break from the movies, to be honest with you. There's just been so many that I've been so disappointed in. It's just been like, I can't keep my standards low enough, you know what I mean, to not be disappointed by something.
Right, people hype it up or say it's garbage when it hasn't even come out yet. And I'm just like, right. Do you think that's bad? Just do wait. There's going to be bigger shit next year.
So Lord of the Rings, man. The Rings of Power.
So were you already a big...
kind of discussing this before we came on air.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I think my opinion is going to be kind of a, like, I'm going to agree and disagree on a lot of things. So I guess I should start off by saying, you know, I love Lord of the Rings. Love it.
Peter Jackson and Tolkien.
I think from the books to the movie, I love it. And I think the movies are a personification of what I call a perfect film. They really are truly perfect films. They are magnificent in so many ways. The detail, the props, the music, the actors. There's so many things in the Lord of the Rings, all three of them, that make them so great. And like I said, near perfect.
Extended
so,
especially.
Yeah. I mean, even, yeah, the extended cuts are great too. And, you know,
it's not just extra scenery, guys. It's extra plot arcs and even
right,
grittier.
It is. It needed to be there. And I'm sad that he had to cut it out for time. Peter Jackson did. But it was, you know, I just think even all the extended stuff is really, really necessary. And it overall, they're great movies. Now, when we got to the show, I this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to start off with the good things that I liked about the show.
No, that's fine. That's what we're all about. You know, don't hold
I
back.
I liked the acting. I thought the actors who they chose were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the props, special effects, everything that needed to be to create the essence of Lord of the Rings was there. However, though, and I, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, Cam. I believe they had a guy who was the expert on the lore of Tolkien and his work, and they actually let him go into the season, I believe, if it was.
I think so. I did see something is like they had some experts, so-called, on set, and I mean, the Tolkien estate signed off on it. So when I would see people who liked it or didn't like it and said it's unofficial, I'm like, no, guys, this is sanctioned.
Yeah.
You don't have to like it, but don't pretend that someone didn't approve of this before all the paperwork was done.
Right. And see, that's the problem. I thought it was good in a lot of essence. Like, it is Lord of the Rings. It really is. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful scenery, beautiful cinematics, beautiful everything. One of the key issues I have with it, though, is you can definitely tell Tolkien's poetic dialogue is not there. His poetic dialogue is definitely missing, which is
kind I think of as close enough. As they got was one song, which I seem to recall being from one of the books, but that's it. Yeah, they chose to speak their own way. So I can totally understand if, because between you and I have encountered people who didn't like the movies or the cartoons. They were just that sacred about the book, like it was their Bible. Yeah. It was what got them into fantasy movies, let alone books and comics. And they, I would not be surprised if we see people who are like, I didn't like any version. I still am waiting for a good version. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see people on the net who are actually mature and ready to talk about what they do and don't like on a forum who might be like, you know, there's just some stuff. It's just very hard to replicate from that. You know, it's the same thing I get with Tom Clancy guys. I see people who haven't liked most versions of the Jack Ryan character. You know,
I'm one of them.
No, that's fine. Hey, see? Yeah.
I don't think you can capture Tom Clancy's books in a movie. I just don't. It's hard. It's hard.
Really? There's some comics, like they're redoing Spawn, and I'm like, why? This Spawn is just so good as a comic and a cartoon. Yeah. There's just some stuff that you just can't
do
without.
The movie. You know, I'm one of the very few that actually do like the movie, but you know, that's
great soundtrack.
But, you know, what I really liked, I did like the show, and I appreciated it. I want all the listeners out there to know.
I thought of you, my dude, when I saw that, when they're in the village fight and they're trying to avoid getting impaled in the eye. that says horror as a god. I was like, whoa. Rob's gonna have something to say about this.
No, I liked it. I mean, it
was, I was, you know, like, oh, are they really gonna
it was brutality but with me. So let's clear that up.
That's a good point too. It's no, that is a good point, because you look at movies that are technically true crime before that was a big genre, like Goodfellas and Boys Don't Cry, and you can't say they're exploitation movies like other B pictures where they're well meaning but kind of uneven in realism and everything. You know? And it is interesting how here, we have a pretty earnest fantasy that it has violence, but it's not for, you know. I mean, Peter Jackson is a gore hound, but he does it with...
It's classy violence.
You're right. Yes, thank you. It's like Walter Hill and Antoine Fuqua. They're going to wait and have some proper buildup before they let all the bloody squibs, you know, fly Peckinpah style. And,
you know, in a way, though, too, I appreciate that a little bit. A movie I can actually kind of point to right off the top of my head. I just watched it the other day because I loved it so much. It's actually one I do rewatch, is The King. Netflix, The King. In the beginning of the movie, he actually does a speech about how England's that way, and he just goes, and you don't even see him stab the guy, you just know he does it, and it's like, it's still brutal, but you don't need to see it. The sound is what, you know,
makes, and like, just the music and everything.
But Rings of Power, though, you know, I just felt like this was the also the issue with this, the plot is we have Lord of the Rings, as we were both saying, some of the greatest movies ever, and it's an end, it's a means to an end. So when this prequel was made, it seemed like they were like, okay, guys, so we're here at the start of A. We got to get to Z. And it's like, we're going to get there. But there was just parts where they were like, okay, we want to jump and make it more like exciting, or bring some more, you know, specifics where it's broad, or make it more broad where it's specific. And it just kind of took the story a little sideways, I thought. And you know,
there's some adjusting, would you say?
Yeah, and it's not entirely the show's fault, because it is a show and you're meant to follow different characters. And I think that's where a lot of people, including myself, were almost kind of tripped up in a little bit of it, because it was like kind of Games of Thrones-ish. You had a bunch of different characters that you follow down these plots. And while it is good, is it Lord of the Rings, though?
that's a good question. That is the ultimate question we're trying to get, because, you know, we're not here for the toxic fandom. We're here to just say, well, why would a legit person who's got no agenda, got no stuck upness, like this or hate this? Like, for instance, you know, we mentioned earlier how I wouldn't recommend this to anyone if they're already not a fantasy head or not into Rings to begin with. But who knows? I don't know, because we did a profile on all three directors who were attached to this, and they've done everything from Outlander and the Dick Wolf shows to one of the Jurassic World movies and the real life disaster film The Impossible. And one of them was a newcomer who had also done some British period piece stuff. But no, that we kind of also got touched on that with the new Star Wars shows. There seems to be some people who really violently love or violently hate Book of Boba Fett, Andor, and even the Obi-Wan show. And
me personally, I'm just happy Disney was listening to, I'm sorry, Kent, the Real Sharks podcast, and we just put this out there. Actually, we're going to be dropping this, that someone at Disney officially listens to us, because we've always said Star Wars should just be a soap opera, because that's what George Lucas wanted it to be. And
a now space opera, soap opera.
We're making a fucking Young and the Restless, but of Jedi now, with this new Acolyte show they're making. Which is basically going to be about all these different Jedi. It's like, pretty soon, watch, Cam, we're going to get Disney daily space operas. Watch, of daily Star Wars.
Space operas. Wait.
They'll get there eventually.
They have to, eventually. And I kind of feel like we were even making predictions with Lore of the Rings. Good podcast, check it out. And that they might even do a wizard show for Rings soon. Let's show the Balrogs. Let's show the entire wizards who were either corrupted or killed by Saruman. Right. Or who Gandalf just couldn't find. They went missing during the siege of Middle Earth in the Third Age.
And see, that was some of the problems too. Like, there was so much beating around the bush with things. Like, when Gandalf comes, like, you know, they hint at it. So, is this Gandalf? You know, but it's like, come on. We know it was. And that's why he loves the hobbits.
I actually didn't. I figured it was Saruman or Sauron.
Oh, really? I figured it was Gandalf. I was like, oh.
But no, you're not the only one. I knew others who were like... Lord of the Rings had it where he had one specific line of dialogue. And he's like, he says that in the book and the movie. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But in all fairness, I mean, so what do you think of the, I keep going back to the usual suspects because, you know, I always love it when there's a good Hans Gruber or another bank thief who just one-ups everyone. What do you think of Adar? How he could go in, is he Sauron? No, he's a dark elf. He's Adar. He's just helping the real guy, Helmbrandt, who is the actual Sauron.
Yeah, I think it's that one. I think that's, he's basically a pawn in this whole scheme too.
But is it so wild? He gets away after doing the typical monologuing distraction get away.
He's kind of bad at his job.
Yeah, and he seems to get captured, but
a lot.
He knows how to talk everyone down. He's kind of like cigarette smoking man in X-Files. He would always let himself be captured, and then he'd be like, and by the way, I know you're not going to kill me because I have information.
And that was the thing I wanted to get on touch base on too. A little bit about the races. Ooh, race war here.
So many. Yeah.
So like the thing that too kind of took me back was like, you look at the elves in Lord of the Rings and in the movies, and you can make the argument, you can say Rob, but those are elves that are a little bit later on, they're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. But the elves in Lord of the Rings were super, super smart. The elves in the show are kind of a bunch of jackasses.
I kind of got that in the Hobbit trilogy, which I didn't care for, but yeah. I mean, you kind of get that if you actually read The Hobbit, where you're just like,
I love The Hobbit.
Yeah, it made our top 10 books because I had read that book 3 different times as a kid. It would be our book too. I love friends to sleep, and it helped that I had cousins. Do you have any family who are big Tolkien heads? I keep saying heads. I just mean,
nope. I'm the only guy, man. I'm the black sheep of my family, so it's
like
I'm
the guy who likes Rob Lord of the Rings. Watching everyone all this dark sorcery.
Yeah. My mom's always like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" She's like this shirt right here. She's like, "I got you this shirt, and you know, it's Stranger Things, and I don't know anything about the show, but I figured you might like it." And I was like, "Yeah, I think it's okay." So, you know, I kind of think like in a way, and you know, I don't want to really bring Game of Thrones in on this, but I thought at first too, and this is kind of, and we talk a lot about this off air cam and on some of our little roundtable discussions, but I thought it was interesting, this idea of having two really strong female characters in two different shows. You had, you know, Gadriel in the Ring of Power, and then you had Rhaenyra.
Oh yeah, Rhaenyra
in House of Dragon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was interesting because they were both women characters that people basically say, you know, they don't have a right to choose their destiny. You know, they can't. Everyone's like, you don't know what you're talking about, and they're both out there to prove everyone wrong.
Yeah,
and it seemed like they both were taking that kind of path, but then it seemed like Ring of Power just kind of was like, well, okay, now we got these other stories we got to do. That's, so we're not going to focus on that one so much. And it, to me, I don't know why, it just seemed like it wasn't as straightforward as it needed to be. It was messy. That's the only thing I can say. But like I said, I do appreciate it. I do appreciate the show.
No, that's fine. I think it could have been, they shot the pilot separate, or maybe just the transition from directors and storyboarding it out differently. And then not knowing when they were going to truly reveal the Helmbrandt, Twess, and Isildur, even though us Tolkien guys know instantly, as soon as we hear that Isildur is like, even if you're a casual fan of the movies, you're like, isn't that the guy who fell Middle Earth? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with Game of Thrones. I really dug it originally, and then when it felt like they were just picking random chapters from the book and trying to do
They weren't picking chapters at all. Are you talking about the original 7 seasons or the House of Dragon?
Just midway through, before they ran out of material, and then it was just always, I'm a guy who likes all kinds of content. I just don't like it when the tone is different. Like, I can't do Fast and Furious.
No, you're absolutely right. Let me tell you about one of the things I hate about House of Dragon that I've said on our recaps. What I hate a lot about House of Dragon was that they made some of the characters less ambitious than they were. So they did things like, instead of, like, for example, Rhaenyra, like, okay, prime example. In Dance of Dragons, when that Vhagar kills that kid, he just straight up, Aemon One-Eye straight up kills him. He straight up kills Luke. He doesn't give a shit.
Just murders.
In the show, they made it to where the dragon didn't listen to him. And you're like, oh, he didn't mean to do that. And it's like, why are you saving their villainous?
Why are you glamorizing these guys?
Are you trying to make it to where the audience will still kind of like them? Because he's the bad guy. You're not supposed to like him. You're not supposed to sit there and be like, you know.
I haven't heard anyone say they like him. So why glamorize him? Yeah. It's
right. You know?
And
that's one thing I hate Lord of the Rings that House of Dragon did. Was they made the characters less ambitious than they were. Like Rhaenyra, for example, she was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to be the queen. And then actually kind of when they did the transition with Sir Criston Colwyn, she was like, I'm not going to give up the throne. You know, I may hate it and I may complain, but I'm still going to be queen. I was like, that's Rhaenyra right there. That's the real Rhaenyra. When she does the whole, I am your queen and I command you to stay there. Like when she does that to her husband, she pulls that card a lot in the books. Because that's her character. But they dumb them down. They just make them softer.
And they're so distracted with it's like someone at HBO must be giving them tips and tricks saying, make sure to include Sopranos type, you know, frets and Skinamax.
He's got to save the puppy dog. The fans have to like him. He has to save the puppy dog.
He may very well. I just get like, it seemed like after the first five seasons on the original show, I just felt like they just were very disorganized. And
oh, absolutely.
And then it just felt like it became a matter of what can we do that we can outpredict the fans. And I think they got spoiled. They wanted to do their own thing. And what's his name?
And let me tell you what they did, too. And I said this on my show. And here's a fucking conspiracy for you, Cam. What they are doing right now in House of Dragon, by putting that prophecy in the prince that was promised, that prophecy has nothing to do with the Dance of Dragons. What he is doing is he is basically writing himself to save his ass so he can be like, this is why the original seasons of Game of Thrones were like this, because of this in this prequel.
And so it's like they're trying to rewrite their mistakes, which otherwise were intended. They're doing it'd be like if they did another X-Files reboot and then just really tried to just add too much detail to shit that they just thought was cool at the time. Or they could do a Lost where you're like, and by the way, all those visions at the end, all them dying, that actually didn't mean anything. You know, and people like to revisit the well and then wish upon it. And then, like you say, it's just the bullshit just stinks to high heaven. It just shines through in the worst possible way because you're like, it wasn't intended. That just doesn't feel authentic at all.
And that's why when I was telling my audience when we were doing the recaps, I was like, doesn't the story seem so good until you get to that prophecy part and you're all like, what is going on? And it's like, right, because they just inserted that shit in the actual story. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Like, dude, they even say this takes place 100 years before the events of Game of Thrones. It's like, then why are you talking about this now?
Right. What did it have to do with anything other than... we just want to revisit it because
we just want to revisit it.
Oh man. So that's enough about Game of Thrones. Why do you think everyone wants to have like there be a rival show to each show? It's like they kind of do this with Succession and Billions.
You really want to know?
The expansion of the Star Trek.
Mine comes from another kind of era that I'm part of, and that was the Monday Night Wars, Cam. Do you remember those?
Yeah, okay, so there you go. It's just old school stuff.
I think it's the idea of AT&T versus T-Mobile. You know,
ABC versus CBS. WWE. Yeah.
Everyone wants to have that rival. Who's better? You know, who's better than this? And before, too, I think if I remember for a while, I think it was when Game of Thrones started, they were like, what's better, Sopranos or Game of Thrones? And it was right. Like,
The Wire or Power. Yeah, is stuff that's not even on the air anymore. We got to have the finalization. Breaking Bad versus Ray Donovan. You know, it's Yellowstone and it's being compared to every other Western, like Longmire.
The
it's
only
like,
show I think that could ever really be compared to Game of Thrones that's not like Game of Thrones is Rome. And that's just because HBO learned right away. It doesn't matter how much money we put into these shows, we're going to make that money back. Because
did you ever read the book Difficult Men in Hard Times?
I have not.
Or Hard Men in Difficult Times. It was talking about all the edgy shows that had come out, everything from Homicide and NYPD Blue to all the other post-Sopranos and Breaking Bad shows. And they did a fun retrospect on how VP, the main programmer of HBO at the time, who had like was already in legal trouble for like hitting a girlfriend of his, they would always just kind of just be like, we don't care for a lot of our programming on here, but we know we need more of that content because we're looking at the numbers. And he would later went on to be the head of Stars. And he was the one who said, oh, okay, we need edgy dramas and sports shows. And then we got to have something like Power or something to get The Wire and Sopranos subscribers to subscribe to us. But yeah, it is wild how with Sopranos, like they, were developing Rome, you know, they already made Deadwood before that. And at the same time, they're like, make it not and similar, you know, to
right. Sopranos. They're like, spend money, but don't spend too much money on it. And it's that's why
so Rome, contrarian. Yeah. Oh, man.
Because they just couldn't afford it anymore. But,
and you know, but I'm glad you brought up Rome.
I love Rome still to this day.
It is so underrated. I feel like that, Oz and Deadwood don't get enough love. They just kind of
Deadwood does not get enough love either.
It's like we were there, but we were overshadowed, and just seems like the show where people like to argue nonstop about, like, those tend to be the ones that get more ratings, and it sucks because I don't want to tell people don't enjoy it. You should enjoy what you love. If it's been on for 12 years, clearly there's something, regardless of whether I see it or not, that people are still tuning in. There's a reason people. I'm tuning into all the seasons of Criminal Minds now. It's pretty gritty, morbid shit that I want to see every day. But at the same time, you know, there's a reason people are watching Walking Dead spinoff, you know, 1 for 20.
Tell me about it.
Even soapy shit like Grey's Anatomy. There's people who just want the same shit.
I don't know how you can still be watching Walking Dead and still be entertained at this point. I'm sorry if anyone out there is still in love with that show from season one
on. That's fine. I think a lot of them just, I don't know. It seems like some people, that's all they watched, or they don't have anything else to watch, or
I don't know. People that just watched that never watched a single zombie thing in their life. They're like, I love Walking Dead. And I'm like, have you ever seen anything else that's a zombie? No. Okay.
I don't know how you get some of the best from Alex Kurtzman's production company and why the effects just look so fake to me. And I just don't like anyone anymore. They've either killed everyone I liked, or I'm just like,
the story's so saturated.
It's so saturated. They keep introducing too many people, but we'll do that for another time.
But you know, overall though, dude, I mean, like I was saying though, I really did like Rings of Power. I appreciated it. There were some things that, you know, little nitpick things that as a fan of fantasy and as a fan of Tolkien, I had a problem with. But overall, I don't want them to cancel the show. I don't want them to do a full reboot as they're talking about, kind of, because they're talking about scrapping the whole thing and just doing a complete 180 reboot.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I knew they were recasting the guy playing Azilor to make him look older, but man. Well,
I heard, and I could be wrong, that you know they were kind of disappointed at, like, Prime was disappointed at the way the whole show went. They actually
They had never had to cock block review sites from delaying by a week, because I think that's just it. I think a lot of people, producers, are now looking at toxic news boards and it's like, okay, again, if you don't like it,
you can't have an elf that's black is insane.
It was so stupid. But then unfortunately, you know, post Trump era, we're always going to have some neo-Nazi guys wrecking it for everybody. But it just got, like you say, frustrating, because then there were people who were legit. Never gonna like it just because they had seen a trailer, and it's like, okay, what part of you have to actually sit down and watch the thing? Like, I'm gonna have to sit down and suffer through a Twilight or a Saw movie before I can say I did not like that. I have to actually watch whatever sequel of Fast and Furious or Transformers before I can say that was a huge waste of my time. But there's so many who won't do that. They will abuse the privilege. They will watch a clip on YouTube and it's like, well, you don't have, that's not reviewing. I'm seeing them do it now with this Willow show. Yeah, of heart. And if I'm going to say something is so soulless, I better actually sit down. I better be able to give you a paragraph.
Right.
I think a lot of that's gone. I think a lot of people are just bored and letting just stupid shit just eat them up. Like, if I see something that I really dislike, I am, why should I make it my mission to ruin it for everybody else? And comment on every YouTube video saying society is dead. How can anyone like this? Society, they are stupid.
They put a black elf in Rings of Power.
They put a black elf. They had a I would see that. I would see how dare they have a strong woman. I'm like, she's all like
a black hobbit. A black hobbit.
How dare? Yeah.
Oh god. It's just, were they in the ghetto part of Hobbiton?
You never know, dude. I mean, I never saw anyone be arrogant about there being humans or dogs in the first one movie. Right. It's just like, I feel like some people just need to get laid. They need to just stop.
Some people just need to stop complaining.
They need to just focus on matters. Maybe they need to give up TV if they're this toxic.
Give up TV? No, they need to get back on TV. What you guys need to do is get off the internet and stop reading so much crap. My God.
I don't know, man. I think it's a bit of everything. They need to have all cords like disconnected and just read a book for the first time. Read a magazine that's not trashy. Yeah, just something, because they need something better to do. I see it with some other people who I've had to block on social media who like have total mental like health issues, and they are to the point where they're saying so much hateful shit and then playing the victim card. And it's like, no, you don't get
right. No, I hate people who do that shit.
You don't get the sympathy card. You don't get to pull a Kanye here. And
so we're going to come back around here.
Sorry. We're all over the place.
I know. I know it's all good.
The rings of power tend to do that. They tend to show us all the everything wrong with the world and corrupt us.
I will say this, and this is the last bit I'm going to say, Cam, but before I got to actually open. But what is it? Yeah, I got to get going. The one thing I was going to say is we were talking about Total Recall in the beginning. Yeah. And personally, when I first saw, and this is strictly out of peer pressure from my peers as co-hosts, I should say that now I don't really like the new Total Recall. First, I didn't mind it, but I will tell you why I didn't like it. Like, this is why I think it's bad. So in the first Total Recall, you had this idea of Arnold, who might have been a covert agent, and then basically he doesn't know whether he's living his reality or not, you know, or whether he's part of the recall program.
Bingo.
And that's kind of the niche of the movie, is you're the whole time following that going, oh shit, is this reality?
It was the Matrix of its day. Yeah.
Now, in the new one, they show Colin Farrell breaking into a facility and then being caught, and then being all of a sudden in bed. And it was like, wait a second. Well, now we know he's a fucking, like, undercover agent. That totally takes away the twist.
I concur. So when we were mentioning this before, guys, we were talking about adaptations, reboot versus remake, and how it often gets caught in the clutter because Hollywood PR likes to wave the terms around without actually knowing what either one means. They're kind of like politicians. You shouldn't use words that you just don't know the meaning of. Anyway, but yeah, it was frustrating because there's some ideas, and yet at the same time, it's trying to be its own thing. And then it kind of keeps going a 180 in the worst possible way by then trying to make visual references to the original. And so you're like, so what are we doing here?
Right,
your own deal.
They didn't go to Mars, and that was what everyone freaked out about. Everyone was like, "I can't believe they didn't go to Mars now." And I was like, "I didn't really care, because when I walked away and came back, it was still Total Recall. I knew exactly what part it was."
Yeah.
The only issue I had was taking that element of the plot away that has the suspense. You basically made it to where the audience already knows the ending, and I was like, "We already know he's a fucking agent here. You gave it away." For anyone who had never seen the original and went into this one, you destroyed it for them. And that was what I thought was really bad about that.
No, I concur. You know, like, I can understand. To me, it wasn't as forgettable as, say, like the Poltergeist remake, where you're just like
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, or Nightmare on Elm Street, where it's just so self-indulgent and disorganized, you know. I can understand remakes like The Departed, which is a remake of Infernal Affairs, or even RoboCop, where it's trying to do its own deal, or even Dredd, a different version of, you know, Judge Dredd. But then when it gets to where, like you say, one minute you're saying we're doing our own deal, and then there's homages to the original with his disguises and everything. And then, like you say, just show the magic trick before there is a magic trick. You know, it's like, it makes you wish they just could have pulled a pretentious, you know, Christopher Nolan type thing, where, or Jordan Peele, where we're just going to freak you out and
don't care about the original. Push through.
Exactly. Break on through to the other side, quote Jim Morrison. But yeah, it's just like, okay, so what did you want to do with this? Because it does, it just feels like you were getting studio notes and having to say yes to all of them, even though they were all right. Very bad ideas.
Right. Someone was like, hey, make sure you tell the audience that this guy is an agent right off the bat. That will sell the film. That will be different than the original.
We're not talking about any of the utter betrayals or questionable right. gunplay or people using hostages, even though they clearly got a easy shot for the head.
And we're talking nothing.
Yeah, we're talking about all the other just abyss of plot holes. And Rings of Power, like you say, it's taking its sweet time. It's I think, for me personally, I started when the fourth episode was already up. So I knew there would be like two of them I'd be able to catch up on each week. But that's not easy for everyone. Everyone else, I think they're just impatient. They want instant results. And unless it's something like Breaking Bad, which weirds them out, or like you say, some of these other shows where they're just like, it's so gory. Oh, it's so sexy. Oh, it's so this. It just seems like everyone wants an instant reaction, even though they know it's a slow burn. But then at the same time, it can also frustrate people because sometimes it's too slow, even for their own good. So it does make you wonder what is the best way, I guess, Well, what are some improvements you want to see before we go on season two, and let alone just for movies in general?
Like, I would like to see them get some, and I know it's going to sound funny and it may sound stupid, but get some poets in there, guys. Get some actual poets that can sit there and write some beautiful dialogue for the elves.
I can see that.
That can actually get some character, because one of the things I think the Rings show is missing too is I think there's just not an in-depth look at some of the characters.
There's more poetry and Wheel of Time, which some of these filmmakers were done, and that's a good point, because I think poetry is very calming, even if you're not into it. So it's
right.
It would be the perfect kind of transition to kind of get people just in the mood to kind of just.
But not only that, Cam, J.R. Tolkien, as you know, I'm sure you read his books. He wrote poetry. Lord of the Rings is beautiful. It's very beautiful.
It is so poetic.
When you read it, it's like reading a poem. Everything is very. The elvish, the language of the elves is beautiful. I mean, it's meant to be, even like the way they're writing, the way he did the writing and everything, it needs to come. That's what I would like to see, is more emphasis towards the races and how they're really meant to be. What I would like to see is more detail towards that.
I'm with you. That would be a good idea, because then we can free ourselves up. Just show, hey, this is a long time coming. I mean, because they got some serious talent on here who's so experienced with all other kinds of.
They had some cool stuff. One of the things I didn't mention that I liked the dwarf. I like showing the dwarf in city.
Durin the Fourth.
I loved it.
We kept quoting him how, a dog can bark at the moon, but he cannot bring it down. That was as poetic as it got. And Bear McQuarrie, who scored, Walking Dead and Battlestar Galactica, we need more of that score. We need more of his orchestras and what have you. But like you say, it seems like we need a little more momentum. We even might need a little more action, even though there's always action aplenty in every episode. It's just like we might need a little more, just because I think we can assume that this show will end the minute Isildur, goes to war and fails us, so.
Right.
Something. Yeah, because he's the Anakin Skywalker Miller. He fucks everything up. And however, the difference is he just gets killed by the dark powers. Nothing to do with
Very unelegant way, face down in a river.
Right. Five dozen arrows in the back.
Stuck in his back.
Yeah. Funny how that goes.
And might I say before we go, Cam, right now on this show, if it is not the most, if it's not the best podcast on air right now, it's definitely the most handsomest with these two hosts, ladies.
Oh, you're too kind.
Let me tell you. Ain't none sexier here.
You have way more awesome hair than me, my dude.
I just got that rogue look, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's natural because I'm old.
Hello. How are you doing? Well, what do you have coming up on Real Sharks you'd like to plug before you just...
On Real Sharks, not much right now. We're going to be playing a whole game of D&D with each other.
Is it going to be like Death Scrabble?
Yeah, but we're going to do it Real Shark style, undersea kind of D&D.
Undersea.
We're going to definitely get that Cannibal Holocaust going here in the next year, Cam, because I definitely want to get you on for that.
I promise you. I got the uncut version on archive. I'm ready.
All right, sweet. That's basically all we got right now. You know, next year is going to be a whole new rendition of the show. We're actually growing and making different programming. Some new improvements. Yeah, new programming. So it'll be exciting. You know, I'm actually, you know, I do everything for my show, so I'm writing everything right now. So that's why I don't have too much.
You're ready.
I don't have too much to say right now because it's still a process and work. But we'll be around. We're always around. We're real sharks, man. Been on the air 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was a delight having you on here for this sidebar, and
always a pleasure, Cam.
Anytime. And be safe out there. Enjoy the holiday.
Hit me up, buddy.
Always. We will do five dozen more episodes before we go.
Hey, always, man. I love your show. I love your show. This guy is an awesome.
Likewise, you got awesome a cool show too. Show. Edgy.
Catch you later, Cam.
You too.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsy, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jam.